Today is Tuesday, July 6th, 2004. This is Peggy Van Skoik, and I'm in the office of Mr. Coca Booth. We're going to talk about all of his years of service to Cary. So can you tell me, first of all, when you arrived in Cary?
August.
Were you born here?
August the... No. I got here as soon as I could. No. August 12th, 1971.
So you... Been here a good long time.
I've been here a long time.
Gosh, what brought you here?
My wife was from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. I'd been in the coal business, and we sold the coal mines, and I wanted to bring my wife back home because she'd been good about staying with me up in the hills of West Virginia, and so I thought I should come back here. And in truth, we had two young lads who were in middle and high school starting, and there was no future for them up there.
So you saw more promise here?
I surely did.
Yeah. Okay.
Research Triangle Park was quite an attraction.
That makes sense. Yeah. So were there a lot of industries in the park at the time you arrived?
Well, IBM arrived in the park in 63, and Monsanto came some short time after that. And from 63 to 71, they grew steadily. So there was getting some nice industry out there. IBM was fabulous because they grew very rapidly out there, and that attracted other companies who had reason to be... And they residentially were a big factor in Cary. Didn't have any plants in them, they were a big factor.
Because of the housing?
Housing. Yeah, we were rapidly going to the residential bedroom community. That's what we were.
To the park.
Yes.
So after you arrived here, what was your first position in Cary?
Well, I became active in the band Boosters.
Okay.
And my son was in the band, and Cary had an outstanding high school band, and we became very active, and the band was invited to the Tournament of Roses Parade in Pasadena, California. And then we went to the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl and the Presidential Inauguration and pro football games, both for the Washington Redskins and Atlanta Braves, you know. And so our family life was all wrapped up in our children, and our son played football, and so of course, you know, we were very supportive of him being on the football team. And that just kind of put us in the midst of the mix with so many people that we met through our children, and were very active in supporting the van and the schools and things. And so being a relatively small community at that time, it was easy to know a lot of people. So that's the way it happened.
Okay, well, how did you get onto the council?
There was a gentleman who was an insurance man that was elected to the town council, and he got transferred to South Carolina. And at that time, there was real interest in going to a business-oriented type of community, and because of the activity that I had with the community, they were trying to choose somebody that would be that element of our community, and so I was appointed to the town council. I thought I would serve that term, and that would be the end of it. In fact, I didn't even know you got paid for serving. I never gotten paid for any other service like that, and I wouldn't expect it. And shortly thereafter, Mayor Fred Bond told me, you will run again. When you accepted this, you also accepted you'd run again. So I did do that.
And won, obviously. How long were you on the council?
22 years.
Oh, my. Oh, my. So you saw a lot of changes in that time. What was Cary like when you first joined the council, and then how did
Couldn't buy a pair of shoes for my boys here in town. two doctors. I think we had two traffic lights. There was not a sidewalk from Ashworth Drugs to the elementary school. Great community. People were absolutely wonderful. The school was good. Just what do you expect with a small town atmosphere? It was here. A lot of new people. What was interesting, everybody, a lot of people were new, and so you didn't feel like the new kid on the block, and our kids did not feel like the new kid on the block because there were so many new people, so it was easy. You know, everybody was looking to make new friends. So that was very easy for everybody. A lot of people from many different locations came here.
But there really wasn't an industry base at that time.
We had Taylor Biscuit Company was located here. There was a W.R. Grace had a facility that they filled drums with chemicals for agriculture next to that plant. And other than that, in the quote city limits, that was about it. Now, we had some facilities that are relatively close, but they weren't in the city, and so the city didn't get any taxes out of them.
So at that time, the only tax base that you
residential,
really had?
It was 9% non-residential and 91% residential.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of development going on yet, or?
Well, building was a very, very active business in Cary. When I moved here shortly thereafter, Pirates Cove started to be built. You can see the size that that turned out to be. And then in about 72, 73, Kildare Farms announced their development. McGregor, we were not the ninth house to be built in McGregor, but we were one of the ninth family to move into McGregor. And so that's kind of the trend that you saw Southern development. There was a development off of Maynard Road called Wishing Well Village. That was, they developed a number of homes. There was a development off of Pamlico Drive that built some homes. And that's, you see where the areas were being located. Yeah. Nice homes. And that everybody was traveling someplace else to work.
So when and how did that change?
As I remember it, and I think when the there was a group of 100 people got together at McGregor one day and said we had to do something to change directions here in town, and they agreed to put some money together and buy some land and have it rezoned for industrial development, and they bought land over off of Old Apex Road.
Yeah.
And the first company that built there was the pharmaceutical aerosol group that built over there from England. And then the land between US 1 and 64 across the street from McGregor was zoned for an industrial park, and there was a great deal of raised eyebrows about that, but the very first industry we recruited there was Fire Troll from Erie, Pennsylvania, who made fire suppressant equipment. You can go there today and it looks like an office building. And then Container Graphics, of course the Lord Corporation built a research facility there. We got a company out of California that builds sprinkling equipment called Hunter Industries. There's just so many really top-notch, high-quality industries they've attracted for that park. And that was kind of the turning point. We were shooting for a goal of 60% residential and 40% non-residential. Came close two or three times to retaining that, but it was always a goal and we never quite met it. But when we raised that bar and started getting industry and getting good industry, it made so much difference. Of course, now, you know, places like SAS came to Cary in 1980 and just absolutely made all the difference in the world, you know, for being here. Okay. When they moved here, they came here with 20 people from Raleigh.
Only 20?
20 people.
Wow. How many employees does SAS have in Cary now?
4,000 plus here today with 900 acres and 24 buildings.
Wow.
And the company's 10,000 employees worldwide almost.
Wow.
Yeah. Now you can see what that difference makes to a community. And people like SAS contribute so far more than tax base to a community. It's unbelievable what they do. You know, the employees who are making good salaries and things, they can contribute so much. They like the arts, they like professional sports, they like college sports. They like for their kids to have nice soccer fields like SAS Soccer Park and things like that. Makes so much difference. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was the vision that we had. Most of the people on the council had young children, and we kept saying, we just want it so our kids can stay here and work if they want to. That was our goal.
What attracted companies in the beginning, before you had any real industry here?
I think the quality of life. Can you say?
Sure. So the quality of life attracted?
I definitely think that. And you say, well, Cary had always had the colleges close by and state government was close by and airport. And I've had so many people to say to me, well, the reason Cary was so successful and he got all the things is because of a proximity to the airport, the proximity to the university system, the proximity to, you know, to the other things. And that's true. But let me ask you a question. Who's the closest to all of those in our area? Who's the closest to the Research Triangle Park and the airport?
Cary?
No, Morrisville.
Morrisville?
Why did Morrisville become the...
That's
okay,
true.
I'm not putting Morrisville down. Please don't misunderstand. But I truly believe the leadership made the difference.
Tell me about the mayors that...
I think we've had great leadership in Cary. Fred Bond, I tell people I tried to model my style of running a meeting and thing. And Fred, he was wonderful at running a meeting, and he very friendly and open, but very stern. Ran a quick meeting, a timely meeting. If you couldn't reach an agreement, let's put it off and we'll come back. There's no sense you staying here all night. I give him credit for a lot of foresight in the bringing the planning director on board and starting the beginning of a professional way of looking at things. I think Harold Ritter was a great mayor because Harold was interested in aesthetics. I give him credit for a lot of the beauty that you see in town with the crepe myrtle trees downtown and the planted medias and the landscaping ordinance that we have and the sign ordinance and things, at the point in time this was very necessary. So I give these two gentlemen a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. Now the sign ordinance made a big difference.
Oh, I think the sign ordinance was what just made us all. Today it makes us difference. You know, the sign ordinance was really put together by our business community, and I think they wrote implemented the writing of a tougher ordinance than most elected officials would, and they took a lot of trashy signs down. And if you notice today, the sign can't be tall in the building, you know, colors and things, and we've had a lot of comments and back. And when I hear about people wanting to change today, it really is interesting to me, because the thing that really made us different and great, and we've had companies, really big companies like Phillips 66 and Toys R Us, and really debate us a sign, you know, and we held the ground, and I think it's made us a greater company. I can tell you lots of stories of meetings with top officials that you know told us they're going to do it their way. Let me give you a good example. Where else have you seen a Walmart says red brick on all four sides with a green and white sign on the front? You don't know to see one.
No.
See the difference?
Yes.
Okay. That's all right. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, this first place in the world that didn't have a McDonald's Golden Arch.
Really?
Yes.
That well, we've got plenty of McDonald's around town.
Yeah, but that was not easy, but they blend into the community, right? And I don't think, you know, at the time people would debate, we hurt people by doing that. I don't think we hurt them at all. I think we made a better looking place and made it more compatible with the community. And I'm really happy to see that the way the town's turned out.
Now, at one time, about the time of the sign ordinance, didn't you also vote to some money to really upgrade downtown? Was that the same time?
Yes, we had a bond referendum, and as I recall, $750,000, and we put in the new lighting systems down there, and we put in brick sidewalks, and we took the overhead lines, which were the ugliest, massive electric power lines that you've ever seen, and it was just hideous the way they looked. And it was removed, put over on the railroad track, and revitalized downtown. And as I remember it, about in a short period of time, less than a year or so, about 22 new businesses popped up down there. And downtown's always, in my opinion, been very, very vital, very, very active, and a lot of people had a lot of interest in downtown, and continues to be. Yeah, and a lot of new structures going down there.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's boosted that, and it never, in my opinion, never died, and I'm glad of that. I'm proud of downtown. And I think there's some things that happen, like the elementary schools and things, which is the old public school in North Carolina, can be revitalized, and I hope we can make an auditorium and performing arts center out of that. And for the children, that would be wonderful.
Tell me about the changes in the parks and rec.
I moved here, as I remember, we had about 7 acres of parkland, which was Mills Field next to Triangle Swim Club, next to the Lutheran Church, close to the high school. And it was a baseball field, and as I have been told, it was pretty much developed by the JCs. And we had a couple little strips of land down in Old Cary, that were a little open space areas, not much, but we had an ordinance that required developers to donate a portion of their land to recreation. And when they built, for instance, like McGregor and Regency and Kildare Farms and all those, and acquired a lot of land. And then we went out and bought Bond Park and made a deal with the county that the spillway could be a part of the park. And it was so far out that people didn't think it'd ever be used. And of course, it's almost in the center of the town now. And, you know, not that you're smarter than somebody else, but, you know, you have so much more input, and you have to have vision too. And I think there was a lot of vision in some of these things. And today we have some absolutely magnificent parks in Cary.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thomas Brook Park, the Robert Godbold Park, the Harold E. Ritter Park, Dad Denham, you know, all of this.
Yeah, that's true. So when you were on the council, what other things did you address and bring into Cary that hadn't been there before? The water treatment?
Yes, we were dependent on Raleigh for water and wastewater treatment, and Raleigh changed their philosophy. We were a part of a larger system where the Raleigh had received federal money for this system, and they were lead agency, and they got ready to expand the plant, which they need to do, and they told us very businesslike that they were going to a profit-oriented base water system. And so it was time for us to look. At one time, Cary had been on wells and the water was red, and it was very difficult for women to wash clothes because they always turned out rusty. And we, after doing a thorough study, engineering study, we decided with great deal of difficulty to build our own water and wastewater treatment plants to become independent. And we were told that it wouldn't be cost effective to do that, but we wouldn't own the keys to do that. Well, today it's not only we own the keys, it's very cost effective for us to do that too. And I think it was two of the major decisions, that and Cary Parkway and Maynard Road Loop being completed there. Some of the highlights of infrastructure that just made us a really different place to live.
Now, are other communities dependent on Cary's water treatment plants?
Apex and Cary own the water plant together.
They do.
And Morrisville buys water from us, and the airport buys water from us, and a portion of the Research Triangle Park used the water system of Cary. That may have changed in the recent years. I don't know. I haven't kept up with that part of it. But anyway, it allowed Wake County to develop the Research Triangle Park, Wake County side, which they weren't able to do.
Because of water?
Because of water. Mm-hmm.
So Cary's water plant made that possible?
I think so.
Wow.
I think so. And Cary goes clear out to Globe Road on the other side of the airport. People don't realize we have an industrial park out that far. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not running the line as far as you think. I mean, it's just across, you know, just across the road, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what happened with schools during the time you were on the council?
When after we've been here 3 or 4 years, the Raleigh City School System and the Wake County system merged, even against the vote of the public. Huh? Merged. Cary had a wonderful school system, a very, very high rated school system. And things were going to, and there was a great battle to keep that from happening because Cary felt it. And I think Cary suffered greatly that when that happened, because as Cary continued to grow, in my humble opinion, they didn't get fair share of the new schools. And so, as you know, a school wouldn't build an Apex rather than Cary. And Athens Drive rather than Cary. And those two schools at that time should have probably been Cary schools.
So why weren't they?
Politically couldn't happen.
And how has that changed over time, or has it?
Well, we have a Green Hope High School now, and they've got a new, West Cary Middle School has been greatly enhanced and improved, and there's a new Cary Elementary School, and there's all the schools, the greatest school, Dillard Drive and Dillard Middle, and you know, and also all of them have been in Cary, but they could have been then to keep up with the growth.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And Cary was the leader in the bond reform for that to happen too. We're the ones that drove the engine to see that those schools were built, and we got some agreements that they would be built and be built and carried in order to help support the bond referendum. And I don't mean to sound like sour grapes about that, but that's one of the things that I, looking back on it, if Cary had had the money, which we didn't have, to build a private Cary City school system, I think Cary would be even a better community today. I really do that. Now, a lot of people would say, no, a county system's best. You can do a lot of things. But I think the level here was, the bar was higher. I think Cary Academy proves that.
Okay, now Cary Academy was built by SAS.
Given the community by Dr. Goodnight and his wife, Ann, and John Saul and his wife, Ginger. And it's a not-for-profit private school.
Is it fully open and?
Oh yeah, they have grades 6 through 12, and 100% of the graduates in the last 5 years have gone to college.
100%?
That's the reason I made the statement I made. I really believe that. because I think Kerry had everything going for it. That if we could have had the school system, we could have had a great school system. You can't build a building and it costs $30-40 million, and you know, this just not in the cards to have that kind of money.
So now tell me about becoming mayor. You were first mayor pro tem?
I was, yeah. I mean, you know, the mayor pro tem thing, kind of a ceremonial thing. You're not really much to do with that. Everybody has committees and things, and that was, but it was just a ceremonial thing more than ever than that. And I talked to Harold Ritter, and he said he told me he wasn't going to run. And so I told him if I was going to be on the council and spend that much time at doing what I was going to do, you know, I was going to take a shot at it. And so that's the reason I decided to run. You know, if you put that much time into something, and there wasn't any reason for me to do that because they weren't doing something, is it just, you know, you, every person, Harold and Fred and all of us have had ideas, and it's just some ideas that I want to try for myself. And I've repeatedly said this because it's true, but without support from your fellow council members, I don't care what kind of ideas you, if you don't have their support, you can't do anything. That's the way of life, you know.
Right. So you ran, what year was this that you ran the first time?
Well, let's see, I finished in, my last night was the December 99, but kind of swearing in is takes that, so it's 2000, so I guess 88.
Okay.
Yeah, lady, I think that's right.
So about 12 years.
Yeah, I was married 12 years, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So what all happened during your mayorship?
Well, we built the train station and didn't even have any trains coming to stop there. We built the water treatment plant. We built the North Curie, let's see. No, Harold had just finished his term when we dedicated the South Curie plant. So that was kind of a straddle thing. We bought the land and built Thomas Brooks. We built all the recreational facilities at Green Hope High School and the 20 tennis complex. We built Harry Ritter Park. We bought the land for Regency Amphitheater. And I think I'm telling you right, I was still on the council when we signed a contract to build it. We certainly had everything in place. It was touch and go out. We Regency Park. We finished Cary Parkway, and we finished paving Maynard Road for two lanes all the way around the city. We built a transfer station downtown for the sanitation so we could save a lot of money in taking our big trucks and stuff to the landfill and cutting the tires off them and stuff. And there's things like that we did that, you know, that difficult to explain to the public that's cost effective. We became one of the safest towns in North Carolina and retained that. And those are just some of the things that happen.
How do you plan for and stay ahead of the kind of growth that Cary has experienced?
I think by having a good staff, and Cary's always had a good young staff, and having outstanding manager such as Bill Coleman and Jim Westbrook. You know the measures and measuring items that you have to keep in touch with to make sure that happens. For instance, you know, we're one of the safest cities in North Carolina. At the time, we had one police officer, but for every so many thousand people, and you have to watch that, and if the numbers start changing, that you have to change those numbers. You build fire stations so that you can have response time of so many minutes, and if you don't have that response, you need to build a fire station. And so those people are professional at advising you, you know, if you allow this to be built, allow this to happen, if the growth area takes place here, you know, these are the facilities required, and it's what you have to do. And so I think that's the direction that good management, and I think the council management form of government is just absolutely wonderful way of running a city. For having a professional person who's not political in his thinking, working with someone who has to be political in his thinking, working together, makes for a good atmosphere.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you can go ahead and do this if you want to, but if you do that next year, you're going to have to raise taxes. Or you can do that if you want to, but next year you're not going to be able to build that X facility that we need so badly. Or if we don't build this water treatment plant, you're going to have to stop something.
So the trade-offs had to be spelled out and analyzed.
In advance.
Right, yeah. Okay.
You know, say we would go to a retreat and they told us that if you stop growth in Cary or you reduce it to this percent in Colorado, Arizona, Florida, we can show you what happens. They jump over those lines, those government lines, and they will go to Holly Springs, they will go to Apex, they will go to, you know, even go down to Johnson County, and you will still get all the headaches you gotta have now with traffic and everything, but you won't get any of the taxes. And that's exactly what happened. And we were told that 10 years before that happened.
No kidding.
Yes. But you gotta believe what professionals are telling you, you know?
Well, over the last few years, since you were mayor, the growth has supposedly been slowed down.
Stopped.
Within Cary.
It's been stopped.
What impact has that had?
It's impacted the budget that if it doesn't start growing again, your taxes will increase next year.
Which they're predicting.
Yes.
There you are.
Hmm. Now, you can criticize me for growing too fast. And I had a man who was going to run for office and call and talk to me. He told me, he said, I wouldn't have supported it if you had run again. And I said, what did you not like? And he said, you grew too fast. And here's the question I asked him. I said, would you have told SAS, American Airlines, Siemens Medical, Fire Troll, which company would you told not to come? And he said, well, I wouldn't have taken them so fast. I said, have you ever been in the sales business? He said, no. And I said, do you take an order when you can get it? You don't take an order when you want it. You take an order, you want it all the time. And he said, yeah, but we shouldn't have grown so fast. And my answer is, we didn't take every company that came and looked in Cary. The Pergolf plant that went to Garner? I told the Chamber of Commerce that wasn't a good plan. It is formaldehyde and sawdust and 50 trucks over here next to Weston going 24 hours a day. I wouldn't want to live over it. And I wouldn't want, you know, so we said, you know, so they chose Garner, which was a good location because Garner had a place that wasn't next to residential and they were very happy. So you don't take everybody coming down the pike and you have to be very selective. And I thought we were super selective. And I will take the blame for the rapid growth if you want to give it to me. And I think the people that served with me on the council would take the blame also and say, I grew up in West Virginia and I saw my community go from 120,000 down to 49,000 people. And I told my wife when the kids were in middle school and beginning of high school, if we stay here, they will not have any place to work. I saw a third generation business that go out of business. And so if you give me a choice of, you don't stand still. People think you do, but you don't. You don't stand still. When you do zero growth and you're standing still, you're going backwards. You see, you already see that. You either go forward or you go backwards. Now, sometimes you may go a little too fast and maybe get a little too slow, but you always have to work at going forward. And I'll be, if people blame me for this, and I'll take that blame. But I still think that it's better to go forward than to go backwards. And you do not stand still. Nobody can convince me you stand still. Even when it's zero growth, it's not plus or minus, but it's going backwards. It is going backwards. And I think the record proves that.
Makes sense.
We'll see.
How has the role of the mayor changed over time?
Well, as the city grows, it's more demanding. I had a job here at SAST. I was criticized for working at SAST, large developer. I never voted on a SAST issue. And they were generous to me to allow me to go as I had to. And there were times when I left here when I knew I shouldn't sometimes. And there were, you know, but when you have a chance to get in a new industry and the president of the company's going to meet, what do? And so they were really good to me. But I think the role has changed dramatically in that we are really we are the seventh largest city in the state.
So the mayor's now a full-time job.
Well,
it was probably, I'm sure, your years.
I'm not sure that you'd say it's full. I think he's a full-time ambassador and a full-time negotiator. We've got great people. We got the best city manager in the state of North Carolina. Great people, but they want to talk to the mayor. It's not the booth name. It was the mayor name. They want, when somebody comes to town and he's the president of a large corporation, he wants to talk at the mayor. I don't care who you are. I don't know whether you're good or bad, smart or dumb. He wants to talk to you. That's the only person he'll talk to. That's the way it is. That's the fact of life, you know, and so I had to be available. And I had set my goal that we want to try to attract new industry. So that's where I put my my priority. But I cannot emphasize enough the wonderful, wonderful staff that supported us. You look at all the good things that happened, and you know, we had really good people, good young people. And our people are much sought after. You know, anybody down at Cary, just about any community would love to have them. And we've lost some of them to be managers of other cities. That's good. Bad for Cary, but good for the city. Yeah.
Right.
I have been all over the state. Where people ask us about our sign ordinance and how we make it work. I've been all over the state where they've asked about our industrial recruiting. We know we never gave incentives. Didn't have any to give. So how do you sell a community that you can't give away the family farm? We've got some good industry here too, right? So it has to be an attractive community to live in. It has to have something for the children. It has to have activities that families, you know, go to the Cary Christmas Parade. See the thousands and thousands of kids that the parade and JC's put on. Then you understand why Cary is a great place to live. Or go to Pop Warner football, or go to the ball fields at Little League and all the things. Yeah. Then you'll see why we're a great community. You know, just the restoration of the Page Walker Hotel. I mean, an unbelievable task. Not money at any place. And, you know, the friends of the Page Walker, I can't tell you how much I appreciate what they did, and it would not have happened if Ann Kratzer hadn't be constantly on. At the same time, I can't imagine if we had allowed that place to deteriorate any further. I cannot even imagine what the community would be like, because it's meant so much to our community. It's one of the premier places in our community today. And and we truly didn't have money to do that at the time. And that's where we had to make this some tough decisions that I talk about.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit of that history of when it was a deteriorating, empty building and how things played out?
It was owned by Bob Strother, a local florist, and Bob had repaired it and fixed it up and made it his home, and it was a very lovely place. And Bob moved away, and the place just sat there idle, and the roof deteriorated dramatically, and it actually had a large hole, about like a bomb had dropped through it, and which absolutely just destroyed the building, you know, the floors and everything in it. And the group got together and tried to, you know, raise the, you know, well, first thing, the town had to buy it. Well, the decision to buy it was so easy. You know, I mean, it's next to town hall, you know, and everything. But after you buy it, we had to build it up to today's standards for handicap ramps and elevators and all that. And we knew it was going to be tremendously expensive. Here, you are strapped to buy fire trucks, fix the streets and all that. And it's sort of like a family, you know, you want to take a 2 weeks vacation, and you have to decide, are you going to take a 2 week vacation or are you going to pay Johnny's tuition to go to college? And that's some of the decision we had to make. Thank goodness the people supported enough to make it happen, and thank goodness we found a way of making it happen to restore the facilities, because I think it's got so, you know, we don't have a lot of history in Cary. I mean, people talk about, you know, we got the first public school and things, but what else, you know, we have slave cemeteries, you know, and we were battleground during the Civil War, you know, up to Marsville. But I'm so glad that we were able to save it. And I hope that there's always money to keep it maintained. I hope there's always there.
So
a lot of companies gave a lot of money. If you go down and look at those tags on there, it's interesting what a little tag like that meant, $10,000, $50,000.
That's a lot of money.
You know, didn't ask for much recognition and didn't get a lot. You know, and I hope that it's so fragile, and I hope we don't overuse it, because it's not a public building like we build today with granite floors and stuff, you know, and I think we need to really be careful how we take care of it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So while we're building for the future, we need to also take care of our past.
Yeah, sure, yeah. We surely do. Yeah. In the same way with downtown. We need every once in a while go back downtown and do some major fixing up down there. For instance, I noticed the you know, I don't know whether you know this, but the clover leaf in the street down there, the added expense for that was paid by the Durham Herald newspaper. They were trying to get started in Cary, and it didn't work, but they paid for that. The difference in the cost of just doing it and putting those, that clover, you know, the this in the town seal, they paid for that. The town clock, the money was raised by the Rotary Clubs. When we did that, that was on the plan to put it down. We didn't have the money to put it, so the Rotary Clubs raised the money to do that. And some companies here in town paid for the installation of that. And a lot of times when we couldn't afford to do, we went to other people asking them to do things like that. And to make it happen, it was important to make it happen. They did it at high school, they did it at the elementary school, other places, people,
Okay, well, you've given us a great background to get started in understanding your tenure with Cary and all that you've done, but I think we need to go away and think about all this, and then we can come back and do a second interview. How would that be?
That'd be great. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much for all you've given us today.
You didn't eat much for lunch.
Oh, I did. It was fabulous. Okay. I got a wonderful lunch, too. It was terrific.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you so very much.
All righty.